From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barham, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Yesterday, we spoke with Ross Bjork, so if you missed that, go back and listen to it. Ross gave us about 36 and a half minutes of his time to talk head coach search, NCAA, committee on infractions, basketball, baseball, and more. So check that out on iTunes, on the site, rebelgrove.com. Got recruiting up this morning. Have Matt Luke video from his post-practice interview yesterday, as well as some observations, practice observations, offense and defense separated on the message board at rebelgrove.com for subscribers. So no better time to subscribe, and we would really, really appreciate it. So again, Ross Bjork yesterday. We're going to talk about that interview today, kind of give some analysis of it, our thoughts a day later. Tomorrow we will have another podcast, and on Thursday we are talking with Oxford Mayor Robin Tannehill. Will join us as well to discuss some things with the city of Oxford. So that's kind of the rundown this week, what we have coming up. And as always, podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Oxford Crystal's next door. At the Oxford Crystal, you get the hand-spun shakes, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, or Oreo. And then, as we've been telling you about, the daiquiri machines are in at the Oxford Exxon. Six different flavors. Orange on the way, not quite there yet, but you can get peach, you can get hurricane, you can get strawberry, watermelon, and more there at the Oxford Exxon. Again, a 20 ounce is just $3 or so. So check those things out at the Oxford Exxon, and we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number, you ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's easy. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. It's just an easy car buying experience. So you get your quote, and like I tell you all the time, you're free to distrust Corey and the people at Clark Ford and think they're out to get you, and go shop that quote as far and wide as you so choose. It's your money and your time. But you can take our word for it, and you can take the word of so many of our podcast listeners all over the South, from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, from Dallas to Atlanta, people who have purchased from Clark Ford in Amory. And then at the end of your deal, tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. Mention this podcast, mention the Beer Garden podcast, either one. $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
There's a couple of things I want to get to later in the show, but we'll start with Ross. Again, thanks to him. Thanks to Ole Miss's communication staff for helping get that set up. We went over to Ross yesterday and had a nice visit. Again, you can listen to it. I'm pretty sure most of you already have listened to it. But a lot of stuff, I thought Ross, as he's been lately, as honest as possible with what he can say. So we kind of break it down. We can go through some different things. NCAA, though, we'll start there.
Okay.
You and I both had the same interpretation. Again, anybody can go back and listen. They hear the pauses. They hear the way it came out of Ross's mouth. However, when I was listening in the moment, and I've gone back and listened to a couple different phrases since then, I sensed anywhere from optimism to cautious optimism on Ross's part with the NCAA standpoint. Look, it's all relative what any of you would classify a win, but whatever Ross has in his mind for a win, I think he at least thinks they've got a little more than a puncher's chance to achieve that.
We got a lot to unpack today, don't we? I mean, there's a lot to get to.
We got tomorrow, too.
And as you talked through that, I was thinking, yeah, I want to comment on that. Yeah, I think there's optimism. I think it has to be cautious optimism.
Of course. You never know what these 10 people are going to do in a room led by the Xavier Athletic Director.
It's probably guarded optimism.
No offense to the Xavier Athletic Director, yeah. Just making a point.
Damn Xavier. What are they, the Musketeers?
They are.
Yeah. That's the team that beat Ole Miss in the tournament, right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Xavier has a chance to pop Ole Miss twice. I'm kidding. It's totally unrelated.
You don't know that.
That's true. Maybe it's a good thing that Ole Miss lost that game. He's not upset.
That's true, because if he was upset, it might be like the Billy Madison thing where the guy's got the sheet of paper and Ross Bjork's on there.
Yeah.
Instead, since they won, he got to cross him off.
I sense optimism. Look, if you look at the case – there's problems for the NCAA. They have more problems than Ole Miss has problems. And Ole Miss has problems.
Because that's a heck of a statement you got there.
I've always thought, certainly have thought since Hugh Freeze resigned, fired, whatever, that there was a path here that made the most sense. I still think that path is there. I don't think that, because at one point, I mean, Stephen Godfrey was the one that reported this. Stephen doesn't miss much. So I'm going to go ahead and go out on a crazy limb and say Stephen was right. This thing was going to be in Mississippi. It was going to be in Mississippi for convenience purposes. It's not in Mississippi anymore. It's in Kentucky. It's essentially in Cincinnati. That's not convenient. I don't believe Leo Lewis will be there. The fact that the NCAA wanted Lewis there tells you that there's like, man, you know what, man, I kind of want to ask some things.
And no, the committee wants him there. The investigators don't have this say-so.
Right. I think there's just an easy, obvious path. You leave it at 1 year. You do whatever with scholarships. You hammer Barney Farrar. You hammer Chris Vaughn. You rehammer David Saunders. You hammer Hugh Freeze.
And you probably nick Maurice Harris and Chris Kiffin in the process.
Yeah. And those kind of people say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You get to flex, you being the NCAA investigators, get to flex your muscles and go, look at us. Walk out the door, kind of big baller style. And then it ends. You didn't hammer a program. The outside will look at it and go, boy, 1 year bowl ban and 16 scholarships and show causes and suspensions. Woo-wee! That's a heavy hit. And it is a heavy hit. When Ole Miss people turn around and go, and I'm not referring to the administration. I'm talking about fans. Man, we won. No, man, you got a bowl ban. You lost $8 million. Your program got put through the ringer for 5 years. In large part because your head coach decided that he was going to pick a fight with an NCAA investigator on campus, which is the stupidest, most ignorant, retarded thing you could possibly do. It is literally the equivalent of getting pulled over going 81 in a 65. And the lights come on. And they pull you over, and you get out of the car, and you step up to the trooper, and you go, what's your effing problem, big boy? It is literally the equivalent of that.
That wouldn't go well.
No, it would result in a long, expensive process.
You'd be arrested.
Instead of sitting in your car, waiting for the officer, rolling your window down, using yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. Here is my license, sir. I am sorry, sir. I don't have a good reason for speeding. I will not do it again. Thank you for pulling me over. My mind was somewhere else. I need to focus on what I'm doing, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Getting your ticket, paying it. For the love of God, just pay it and be done. And move on. And if you want to put up a picture of that state trooper in your bedroom and throw darts at it every day for the rest of your life, that's okay. But no, Hugh Freeze didn't do that. And that's this whole thing, man. So when people go, A, none of this is Ole Miss's fault, BS. And then two, it was a win. It won't be a win. You're avoiding disaster. And I think coming out of this, as we get to this, I think what's happened in this a little bit is that for the longest time, whether because he was winning or for whatever reason, Hugh Freeze was sort of the voice of Ole Miss athletics. And I think now that role has been taken by Ross Bjork, who's handling it 82,000 times better.
Yeah, Ross Ross was honest. Ross was careful. Ross did the thing where he said just enough, but when you went back and listened, didn't say too much.
Didn't say too much, but he was candid enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we asked some questions that I knew when we asked them. He can't really answer that, but we asked questions I think that people wanted answers to, that people wanted asked. And I think unlike other people, he was smart, is smart enough to know, hey, you know what? These guys are asking questions that people are asking them. They're not, this isn't a gotcha moment. This is a, hey, this is what people want to know. And he answered what he could. And I think if you read between the lines on some things, and there's some, like in anything, some people have the ability to read between lines and can interpret a lot, and some people are literal. For literal people, I'm sure it was frustrating at times listening to it. If you're a person that's able to get some nuance in answers
and not the worst thing,
pick up on a code word or two, you learned a lot yesterday.
Yeah. Again, September the 11th is the date. Ross said they would probably submit that or put that information out sometime this week.
Yes. I was told.
You've heard Covington, Kentucky.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've heard. Rob Jolly responded to my FOIA request yesterday with
working on it.
It's coming out publicly this week. The answers to your questions are coming out publicly this week.
Okay. Ole Miss is going to put it on that website. Essentially.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said September 11th through the 13th, Covington, Kentucky, and no one has told us we're wrong. No one has told us we're right, but no one has told us we're wrong. Usually when we're wrong, we are informed of our wrongness.
Yeah, silence is typically a good thing when it comes to statements along those regards. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had you said next Tuesday, someone would have hollered at you.
I think I would have been told I was full of it again.
Yeah.
But no, I really appreciate Ross sitting down with us. He didn't have to do that. He gave us probably about 10 more minutes than I think he intended to, which might be a sign that he was actually enjoying the interview. He's really good at that. He needs to be, in my opinion,
the voice.
He needs to be the voice. That voice needs to be heard a lot.
And he's working on it.
And he's getting there. And the people who start the rumors about Ross Bjork's on his way out, we asked him that. He answered it. That answer probably had a little nuance to it.
Said he would be there as long as he was wanted to be there.
Yeah, but that they like it. They're not looking to leave. And so the people keep going, I know you've gotten this, because if I've gotten it once, you've gotten it 15 times. You believe that? Yeah. No reason not to believe that. I have no reason from any of my dealings with Ross Bjork to believe that he's going to flat look me in the eye and lie.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, if he was undermined in his own department or something, that would be different stories. But as long as operating procedure stays as is, I believe him, yeah.
And as he said, you can only control the controllable.
Yeah.
That's pretty good life advice. I can tell you that. Don't worry about what you cannot control.
Worry about what you do and how you react to other things.
Yeah. The rest of it, man. You can't take care of everything and everybody. It's just not possible.
Still, he still looks more at ease than he's looked in his tenure.
He looks more at ease than he did probably the Wednesday before Hugh Freeze was let go.
Tough day.
I know this isn't true, so I shouldn't even say it, so I won't.
What are you thinking?
A part of me wonders if, had it been Ross Bjork's, had he had the ability to do it, and maybe he did, I don't know. I mean, I'm just really spitballing here. A part of me wonders if he wouldn't have cut the cord, that cord, a long time ago.
I'm still fascinated. Ross reiterated it. We've known it. We reported it the night that Freeze was let go. The fact that number stayed in that file when Freeze had a chance to redact it remains the biggest mystery in the world to me.
It does.
I don't understand.
It does. And people around...
Hey, it's probably just a recruit. Leave it in.
Knowing... Because he had...
Wouldn't you at least go, hey, what area code is that?
Because
are we recruiting anybody in Detroit, guys? Hey, somebody, give me a list here. Who do I call in Michigan?
Well, especially if you know... You know that, hey, man, there's some stuff that I've done that I don't need out.
Well, see, it was the part where, look, Ross, all he can do is convey what Hugh conveyed to him. So I'm not blaming Ross Bjork for this whatsoever. But yesterday when Ross goes, well, Hugh did not recall making that call. And it's...
Well, Hugh said he didn't recall.
Well, right. No, I understand that.
Because if he says immediately, yeah, I made that call, it's to a escort service, it's one that I use when I'm in Tampa, well, then we got a problem right off the bat. And... I mean, he was trying to cover it up.
So he just goes,
Well, he lied.
Say it's your grandmother and put a line through it.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying once he was approached with it.
I get that, but I'm talking about before that.
And then the people that go, and I'm going to defend Ole Miss here for a minute. The people that, and there's people that do this every day to me, and I understand where they're coming from because they're cynical, and God knows if anyone should appreciate cynicism, it's me. You know, Neil, they should have caught that. If there was a pattern, they should have caught that. Come on. Who in that athletic department should have been looking at numbers and going, hey, I wonder if this one's to a strip club. Let's call and see. Let's look and see if this one's to an escort service. You think maybe this one is?
Recruit calls are monitored, but they're assigned recruit calls.
Right.
Personal calls are not monitored.
Right. And so if...
I mean, it would literally be you going through going, okay, let's see if this is a lost aunt of Hugh Freeze's. Let's call and find out. Like, let's run some background searches here. Let's... Oh, Hugh called an oil change. Like, okay.
I mean, Ross Bjork has more things to do than to sit down every day and pull up the phone records of all of his coaches and go, all right, today it's Mike Bianco. Here we go.
Well, football staffs have a lot of people. Get some analysts and interns to take a day.
But it would take more than a day.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know you are. I mean, it
39,000 phone calls.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, over 5 years, that sounds like a small number.
It does. Yes.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't recruit or anything. I'm not saying that
at all.
1,700
days, give or take.
Yeah. But I would think, you know, you're the head football coach at an SEC school. I'm thinking you're making a lot of recruiting calls. Calling mama and them.
Mm-hmm. Coaches.
Coaches, mamas, uncles, aunts, 7-on-7 coaches.
Handlers.
Just calling people.
What's up with Jimmy and Joe?
Yeah. How's your mama and them? The stuff you have to do in recruiting.
We have a casserole Tuesday night. I love casserole.
God, that was the best chicken divine I've ever had.
You know, they've eaten some bad meals.
Oh,
and you got to just – you
like
seconds.
Casseroles?
Yeah. It's got to be real certain kinds. I'm not
– like what? What's a? Give me a casserole that you eat. And you go, that's pretty good.
I hate like hamburger casserole or like tater tot casserole or – I like –
never had tater tot casserole.
Well, it's basically like, – it's just tater tots on top. But I hate the cream of mushroom
oh,
taste.
Me too. Can't.
That's the problem bad. Is the cream of mushroom
can't
taste.
Do it.
Like, if you just want to throw some chicken and rice in a casserole, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You know, I mean, in theory, when we around here eat enchiladas a lot of times, it's more of a casserole type thing.
Right.
You know, that's different.
And I like enchiladas. I'm a big enchilada guy.
Yeah. Look, deep dish pizza is a casserole.
It is a casserole.
Let's stop the pizza thing. It's not pizza.
And people in Chicago would get mad at me if I said this, but I don't really like it.
It's heavy.
I like thin crust. Yeah. Of that oven.
I'd rather have New York style.
Oh, yeah,
much
yeah,
more.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, no, it's the cream of mushroom that turns me off to casseroles because most casseroles have cream of mushroom soup in them.
Yeah, like my mom always made a casserole with rice and pork and onion, but it was like a beef broth or something. It was fine. It wasn't that congealed.
It's almost like a sour cream kind of taste.
Yeah,
it's
I'm not a casserole guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure that when you walk into some of these houses, they've pulled up the special casserole.
Tonight.
And you got to
eat
it.
Green bean surprise.
You know, it's,
Just stomaching it.
This is what we have on special occasions, Coach.
You got to eat it.
Oh, man.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have no choice.
If you want the kid.
Tell your mom that was great.
I love it.
You want some seconds?
Can I get that recipe?
What's dessert? Please say a pie or something. Yeah. Get this taste out of my mouth. Yeah. Got some sorbet. Yeah. I really appreciate that right now.
Something tells me the people serving up the green bean casserole are not following up with the sorbet.
They might have orange sherbet.
It's probably like a big, knowing my luck, it would be a big banana pudding.
Really enjoy the southern homes. They probably eat a ton of banana pudding on these visits.
I would just lose kids.
You would have to eat banana pudding 5 days a week.
I'd start recruiting the Midwest. The West Coast, we just figured out. I mean, I'd go hire
it's
seven.
Like the Seinfeld episode when they have the mutton or whatever, and they have to put it over in the coat or whatever because they won't eat it.
I'd go hire seven or eight Corey Batoons, and we would bust out Hawaii, man. See what happens.
Fish, rice.
Yeah.
All fish. In.
I'm in. Our team's going to suck, but let me tell you.
I didn't have to eat that banana pudding.
Recruiting trips will have gone much better.
The way you hate bananas, you'd be so happy when she pulled like the apple pie off the windowsill.
I mean, and I don't like apple pie, but
compared to bananas,
if you told me I had to eat three apple pies or one small bowl of banana pudding, I'd say, God, bring out the pie. We'll get through this somehow.
Completely off topic, but we'll take a break in a second. I saw a tweet last night where this place in Wells, you know, around here, you got like the 72-ounce steak is like, you know, the special where if you can eat it all, you get it free or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's the girl that eats all that crazy stuff. She did it in like 3.5 minutes, the 72-ounce steak.
Okay. Oh, yeah, she picked it up with her hands.
She's the same one, you know, with the cottage cheese I was telling you about.
Oh, God.
She ate 6 liters of cottage cheese in like 4 minutes or something.
Yeah.
You can just watch her with a spoon just shoveling the cottage cheese into her mouth. Anyway.
You're killing me.
All right. In Wales yesterday, they've got a burger that is their thing.
Okay.
And every time somebody eats it and breaks like whatever the record is, they add another patty to it. And it's like 6-ounce patties.
Okay.
So yesterday, a dude ate a 102-ounce cheeseburger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Stacked up high. 102 ounces. So now it moves to 108, obviously, because they threw another patty on there.
This is in England?
It was in Wales, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
You probably piss them off if you said England. I'm assuming it's a different place.
Yeah, they'd probably get mad.
Yeah.
They'd say it's Wales, damn it.
Yeah. Probably not how they say it, but sure. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is a Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. Know this, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. He says if he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. There's three ways to get in contact with him. His cell, 662-719-3967. His Facebook page, or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Great deals on new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You'll be glad you did. They'll take even extra good care of you. Great people. It's a great car buying experience. You can take my word for it. I've done it. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by OUB, Oxford University Bank, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. Right now, OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield and three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So here's your picture of your burger.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. Look how much weight he's gained from...
I mean, seriously, just the before and after, you can see him swollen.
Yeah, he's, that can't, that just, no. Why would you?
It's one thing to eat speed. It's another for quantities where just, because that, I mean.
I like eating, I like food and stuff, but seriously, I don't like the feeling of being so stuffed that you're miserable.
I saw there was a new dude now doing the Man versus Food, the Travel Channel show. You know, used to be kind of the chubby guy with kind of the curly hair.
Who lost, went ahead and lost a lot of weight.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah, lost a lot of weight.
Okay, there's a new dude doing it. It was premiering Monday night, maybe, something like that.
I saw there's a guy that's like giant food or something. There's some show where he eats like just monstrous amounts of food. I would not be happy being that guy.
It's the really hot food that freaks me out more than the quantities. Like the guy that has to like sign the waiver and wear gloves to eat the wings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like if you bring me a waiver with the wings, I'm out.
Hey, this could cause a stomach lining to be.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I don't want to. It's not worth it to me to spend the next 36 hours in a restroom so that I can prove to people that I'm dumb enough to eat.
Also, you spoke of this yesterday on the Ocho this morning. Here's your trampoline dodgeball.
That actually looks kind of cool. A good way to blow an ACL out, but cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Where you want to move? Let's go head coaching search with Ross yesterday. And I tell you, my main thought when I left this was,
we got a lot here.
Okay.
Okay, we're gonna try to stay on topic. Here we go. Go.
If you're an Ole Miss fan, not the administration of the university as a collective. If you're an Ole Miss fan, I listened to that yesterday, and I would have felt a sense of calm because it is a process. It is a steady process with a plan. There is a plan of the type of coach Ross Bjork would like to have. There is specific examples of that, but you got to play out the process. Matt Luke's going to get an opportunity. There is only one person currently that knows because he's keeping information quiet. He is keeping all the leaks and the crap out of what happens in a lot of coaching search, especially over this length of time with a coaching search.
Yeah.
So he said nothing during this topic that if I were a fan would have freaked me out or led me to believe that there was any type of rash decision being made.
The opposite of that.
Yeah. Incredibly controlled.
Going to be deliberate, controlled. There's no reason to rush because the season hasn't begun. I also, if I were listening to that, would probably come to the conclusion that there's going to be change rather than more status quo. If I'm Matt Luke and I'm listening to that, and I don't think Matt is, because you can't, I would think what this is, which is, I think that what this season is for Matt Luke is an opportunity to establish himself as a head coach at another place. To give himself a real chance to win a head coaching job elsewhere in December. I think this season would have to go exceptionally well on a number of fronts for Ole Miss to stay the course. And that's not an indictment of Matt Luke, by the way. But if I were in Ross Bjork's shoes, and this is my opportunity, mm-hmm. not only to put my stamp on a program, and I don't think that's a big deal to Ross. I think Ross looks at it as a steward of a program. After what's gone on the last 5 years, and now the freeze thing with the escorts and all the embarrassment and and all of that, Houston Nutt, which in hindsight was probably a very lazy hire, I would understand completely. And if I were in his shoes, I would feel this way. My attitude would be, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the best coach that I can get. We're going to change the blood here. We're going to bring in fresh, new, completely cut the cord from the past. NCAA will be over. That era will be over. That person, whoever he is, won't have to answer to, hey, back in 2013, did you know? I wasn't here. That's an easy answer for a new coach. Look, I don't really know what happened here in the past. I was at fill in the blank. I don't know what happened here. I don't really have the time to find out. We're going forward. This is a clean start. I wasn't here for that.
Yeah, when the NCAA stuff is over, especially if it's just a one-year bowl ban, you're just an SEC school with a really big budget and probably a salary they can pay somebody. That's what you are.
Yeah, the truth is, Hugh Freeze did them a $17 million favor. If it's a one-year bowl ban, Hugh Freeze's salary paid for half of that.
Yeah, the buyout, $16, $17 million, whatever, and then they're saving about $2 million this fall in Hugh Freeze's salary.
So, I mean, it's still a penny pincher, don't get me wrong, but the pinch hurts less. You have the ability to go out and hire a coach.
Well, $16 million pinch would have been vice grips.
It would have been untenable.
Likely impossible.
That's why when people said at the end of last season, why are they doubling and tripling down on this guy? That remains a good question, but a part of the answer that no one will ever say out loud is we couldn't afford to fire him.
Still can't imagine what was going through Ross Bjork's head Tuesday night in Jackson. He had enough of the picture Tuesday night to be uncomfortable.
I thought the way that he answered that question revealed that there was some uncomfort.
He said Monday night didn't know as much yet.
Tuesday night he had an inkling.
Yeah, Tuesday night had a
yeah. I'm sure. Was that they were in Jackson that night?
Was in Jackson.
I'm sure that was not a night that he would like to revisit.
Yeah, let's we've got to show a good face here, but let's be a little careful.
Yeah, I'm sure that night when it ended,
got back on the plane and went.
Whew. Yeah, he exhaled pretty good. Yeah. Kind
of
like,
I don't have one of these tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. The next couple of days are going to suck probably, but it won't be – we'll have more control over it than what I just did. I'm not I that was probably a night that – I don't know whether Ross imbibes at all. I have no idea.
I don't either.
If he does, that was probably a night that he got home and poured a stiff one and said, you know what, I'm going to sit here by myself in the dark for a minute.
Yeah.
Or if he's the kind that goes and works out, he probably was dripping wet from the 8,000th push-up at the end of that workout.
I got to get this out for a
there
second.
Was some, so I would think there was some built-up angst by the end of that meeting. And maybe not. He might be the guy that is cool as a cucumber. I would think that Tuesday night.
You would have gotten back home and sat in your recliner. And
I might have gotten home, gone for a run, and then – yeah. Poured the really stiff drink. I mean, I might have had to use like multiple outlets.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would guess that if you were to have a truly candid off the, he would tell you that was a really uncomfortable night.
Anything else from the coach part?
You want to go here now or do you want to stay with Ross? This, there are people out there and their heart's in the right place. They are building expectations for this football team that are unfair to Matt Luke. And there are people that really want Matt Luke to be the head coach here. In part maybe because they've known Matt for a long time, in part maybe because it's self-serving. But the football team that I saw on the field yesterday is not winning 9 games in this league, in that schedule.
Defense got to get better.
The defense has to change its personnel.
Yeah.
So it's not just going to get better.
Yeah, you only got 3 weeks.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't. You could have 12 years.
Yeah.
The risk of being repetitive. There's a size-speed ratio thing that Hugh Freeze used to talk about. He quit talking about it. They don't. It's not there. It's not there. This is the SEC. You have to cover speed out of the backfield. You have to cover. It's defensively at linebacker, at safety. They're just deficiencies, man. I mean, there's a depth issue. People talk about the defensive line. The starting defensive line is very good. I don't know if you read this in 10 Thoughts. I asked Greg Little, hey, what was the game last year that, you know, you said you went back and looked at it and you're like, okay, here's how I have to get better. He said, Auburn. What was it about Auburn? Well, first, Carl Lawson's really freaking good. But what I remember about Auburn was they would replace their whole front seven. I'm quoting Greg here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not changing the meaning. They would replace their front seven, and the new front seven would come in, and there was no fall off. They were just as big and just as fast. And I got out of that game, and I said, you know what? I got to get quicker. So I lost 30 pounds, blah, blah, blah. I don't think people are going to say that about Ole Miss. Ole Miss's second front seven, it's not an SEC front seven. It looks like a program that was being recruited by an offensive coach who was focused on offense.
Extra spots going to that side of the ball. Just struggles to sign linebackers in general that still baffle me to this day.
I mean, there outside of DeMarcus Gates, there is not another linebacker on that roster that when I watch, I don't say I have major questions. And I'm not picking on the kids here. Taylor Polk's running with the second unit. I hate doing that. That is so unfair to the kid. But Taylor Polk's not big, and he's not fast, and he plays his butt off.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
And he should be more than proud of himself for what he's been able to achieve at an SEC program given his physical limitations. So when you send me the email that says you're a jerk to make fun of Taylor Polk, okay, I get it. I get why you're saying that, but I'm not making fun of Taylor Polk. But Taylor Polk's not getting on the field at Alabama or Auburn or LSU. He's just not. Same kid, works just as hard. But he's not getting on the field at those places. And that's who you compete against. I don't think Dante Evans is getting on the field at Alabama, at Auburn, at Georgia, at LSU.
He's probably starting the opener because of Bing Dukes.
Bing Dukes was a guy that Georgia let walk. Let him walk.
Yeah, Ole Miss was very careful with him last year, only played him in certain personnel and against certain schemes. And
it's a speed issue.
Yeah.
People have asked a lot of questions, by the way, on the board about Deontay Anderson. I didn't notice him out there yesterday. Maybe he's hurt. I didn't think to ask.
We'll see you later in the week.
We'll figure it out.
We'll talk to the coordinators tomorrow.
Yeah. And yet there are people, I'm trying to decide how specific I want to go here. There are people that are propping up this team in a way that is disingenuous. A comment was made, am I right, about Jordan Taimu? Jordan Taimu is a JUCO transfer quarterback. He's the backup at Ole Miss. He looks okay.
He's more athletic than I expected. And he's a little quicker than I expected. But his accuracy just wasn't – it's one day.
Right.
One day. There's a noticeable difference, though, in ball flight from Shea Patterson to Jordan Taimu.
But when the comment is made that he's better than a lot of guys who have started at Ole Miss in the past, okay, this is my 10th year on the beat. He's not better than Jevon Snead. He's not better than Jeremiah Masoli. He probably is better than Nathan Stanley. He probably is better than Barry Brunetti. He probably is better than Zach Stout. He is better than Randall Mackey. He is not better than Chad Kelly. He is not better than Bo Wallace. And he's obviously not better than Shea Patterson. So when you say that, I mean, are we going back further than 10 years? Because if that's the case, we're getting into Robert Lane and those kinds of people. What's ages ago? He's obviously not better than Eli Manning. He's not better than Romero Miller. He's not better than Stuart Patridge. You surprised?
Yeah.
And then I don't know who was before that.
Josh Nelson, Paul Head, Lawrence. He's probably better than Lawrence Adams.
Okay, but now we're going back to 1993-ish.
Yeah, we're almost getting back to Tom Luke.
I mean, he's not as good as Russ Shouse or John Darnell or some of the guys that were quarterbacks when I was here.
My running joke always with Kellum, Lawrence Adams, when he did something good, he was L.A. When he did something bad, he was Lawrence Adams.
So I don't know why people do that. I don't know what it serves. Is it to make some people feel good because it's August and that's what you do in August?
Now, look, there's a responsibility of the media here. There's a responsibility for honesty the best we can. I mean, it's not bashing them. Look, the wide receivers are good. Jordan Wilkins looks better. I mean, it's not team-wide.
If DK Metcalf stays healthy, he is a top 10 national wide receiver.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
If DK Metcalf stays healthy, he's one of the 10 best wide receivers in the country.
Offensive line's got a chance to be really good.
It does.
Offensively, they're good.
It's
when they go three and out, what happens?
And that offense goes so fast.
It's faster than before. You always thought Ole Miss went fast. No. This is different.
My opinion, given the defensive personnel, it's risky.
Yeah, it's fast.
Now you got nothing to lose this year. You're not losing a bowl bid.
But it's really fast.
It's dangerous fast.
Yeah. It's 40 seconds and back over fast.
And if you throw that same defense back on the field over and over and over and they wear down, there are no backups to the backups. They don't exist. I've heard people say this team could win 9 or 10 games. How? That to me, that's irresponsible. And when people go, well, you're negative. No, you know where I'm different than a lot of people? I'm a big Thunder fan. Don't tell me on August the 8th, hey, man, there's no chance Russell's leaving. There's clearly a chance Russell's leaving. I mean, Russell Westbrook has a $240 million extension on the table that he hasn't signed. If Russell Westbrook knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was staying in Oklahoma City, he would have signed that extension.
Yeah.
He hasn't signed it. So when you're in the media and you're covering the Thunder, are you doing Thunder fans, your readers, your subscribers, your whatever, are you doing them a service when you go, hey, there's nothing to worry about. There's no chance that Russell and Paul George and all those guys leave next year. Or are you, by telling them, listen, there's a real possibility that they stay. There's a real possibility that they leave, and 1 year from now, this is a total rebuild in Oklahoma City. Now, that's not what people want to hear, and that's not feel good, and that doesn't warm the cockles of their heart, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it's a couple different things. It's not optimistic. It's not pessimistic. It's realistic. So, you know, you're not being positive. You're not being negative. You are what you are. Look, if they go win a lot of games, it's because they win a lot of shootouts and they get turnovers in mass. If you told me something crazy happened, that's why. They win tons of shootouts and have great special teams and turnovers in mass. It's why the Saints win games occasionally. I told Neil this yesterday. Drew Brees he's not an 8-8 quarterback.
No.
He's got an 8-8 defense.
Yes.
He's got a 5-11 defense.
He's got a 5-11 defense.
And he pulls them up to 8-8. And when they win more, normally the Saints, they get a tons of turnovers and a lot of sacks, and there's some stuff goes on. Marquise Haynes ends up being an All-American. My point being, it's unfair to Matt Luke. If Matt Luke is coaching a team and inherited a team as a head coach that is a 5-7 to 7-5 team, and he goes 7-5, 6-6. That's a success. That's a great job by Matt Luke.
Whereas
if you've been told the entire time, hey, they're going 9-3, 9-3, 9-3, and then he goes 7-5, and you go, well, they were better than that. That's a complete disservice to Matt Luke.
I'm going to tell you, if he goes 9-3 and anybody else wins Coach of the Year in the league, it better be because they had an incredible season. Like Georgia went undefeated. Or Jim McElwain went undefeated. Or Dan Mullen went 11-1. I mean, it's something insane. This team, 9-3, is an overachievement. I'm sorry. It is. You were out there too. You're viewed as not as negative as me. You would agree. If I told you 9-3 over under, you do not hesitate in going under.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it. If I go in and tell you 8.5 wins over under, here's the money. Under.
No, I set an over under for this team at 5.5 or 6.
Paul Meyerberg of USA Today predicted all one, which is an insane thing to do because there's no way you can possibly
it's
do
content, it. Whatever.
He picked Ole Miss at 6-6.
2-6 in the league. Which means a win over Cal.
It's realistic. He had Mississippi State, for example, at 6-6. He had Alabama at 11-1. Had LSU at 10-2, which surprised me.
That's high.
There are a lot of people out there nationally who are not tied to LSU who think that Danny Etling played badly hurt last year, that he will be a lot better this year.
In benefit of the doubt, there's a tiger on the side of the helmet.
In benefit of the doubt, it's LSU.
Yeah.
I think they lost too much on defense to go 10-2.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me today, hey, Neil, Ole Miss, LSU in October, who you got? LSU. They're more talented. Does that mean Ole Miss can't win the game? Of course not.
To me, it's just a bad matchup for Ole Miss more than anything else, too.
But I hear people with Ole Miss going, well, Cal's a win, Kentucky's a win, Arkansas's a win. I'm like,
Vandy.
I'm like, what? Vandy's a win. I'm like, you're giving them four games that, in my opinion, are all some variation of a coin toss. And that's, to me, and this is follow up on Chase's point, that's not fair to Matt Luke. And the people who are doing it are the ones who desperately want It's the irony of this. They desperately want Matt Luke to win the permanent job. They're the same ones who, if Ole Miss starts out 3-0 in September, will be going, hey, it's time to do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Give him the job now. Why? He hasn't played an SEC game yet. And so when we come across as the voice of reason, people interpret it as they hate Ole Miss. They're so negative. No, man, we're trying to keep this real. If you beat South Alabama and UT Martin and California, all you did was chalk.
Yeah, Cal's a very winnable game. You have the better quarterback.
You have the better quarterback. You should probably win the game. I think Vegas has it like at 52% Ole Miss.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea.
It's a game Ole Miss probably should win, but it's losable. Am I belittling that win? No. If they win it, it's a big win. But it's not. But it's not a big enough win to go, you know what? F it. We're not going to see what else is out there in November. We're going this route. 4 years, $16 million. Have a press conference. Then you turn around 2 weeks later and beat Alabama. It's a different animal. Now we're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
At that point, I go, you know, maybe this Matt Luke thing is the right way to go. Yeah. Maybe you lose to Alabama by 7, you go beat Auburn by 10. Whoa. Come home, play that Vanderbilt, LSU, Arkansas gauntlet and go 2-1. Well, now I'm like, wait a minute.
He's CEO in the crap out of this thing.
Recruits are jumping on. Recruits are like, I love it. I love the way they play. I love the passion they play with. Well, now I'm having a different conversation. Now I'm going, hey, you know, this Matt Luke thing, this is real.
Weston McGriff's defense getting some picks. Jalen Jones looking like an All-American.
Kids are improving. They're playing with fire, all that stuff. Go to Kentucky and win. You know what? It might be time to pull the trigger on this. Let's have a celebration before the ULL game. So when people go, you're against Matt Luke, I'm not against Matt Luke at all. I like Matt Luke. I think Matt Luke's been a professional guy to cover. And as a reporter, that's all I ask for. Be professional to me. I'll be professional to you. We don't have to be buddies. We don't have to go to Christmas parties. We don't have to golf together. I don't fish, so I don't need to be on the boat. I don't need any of that. I don't have to go to your reunion in Missouri every year and sit at the table looking like, why is he there? I don't need that. That's not necessary for me. I'm not against Matt Luke at all. But I can tell you from an editorial standpoint, you have to wait on these things. Because what if they go to Cal and lose? What if they go to Alabama and get popped by 24? What if they go to Auburn and get popped by 20? and start looking kind of flat when they come home for those games in October, and kids are frustrated and recruits aren't interested. Is that Matt's fault? No. If this season goes disastrously bad, it's not Matt Luke's fault. It's Hugh Freeze's fault. It's whose fault it is. It's not Matt Luke's fault, and I won't blame him for it. But on the other hand, if I'm Ross Bjork at that point, obviously I'm saying, hey, it's time for a clean page.
Right. We'll turn the page in a second. First podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, and turf. Even no holiday lighting during the holiday season. Give them a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. Mention the podcast, first cut on them. Also can get mosquito sprays all over North Mississippi for as cheap as $60 an application.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team, are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you are looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. The podcast is also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, it's snapper and cobia that are the most popular trips to take. You should know snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day, so if you are interested in that, need to hop to it. Be here before you know it. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail, which was the subject of a long message board joke over last weekend. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. It's owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. They are both Ole Miss alums, avid fans. 7 South, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, can service most any of your tailgating needs. SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages are available. They can set you up the Grove, the Circle, the outskirts of campus. They offer a number of things, complete setup, game day concierge, trash removal, year-round storage, and more. They typically sell out every game, so visit the site today, secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com. You can reach them by cell 662-321-1682.
You're tired of paying $50 or $60 for that pill? Only to find out you have to wait 3 to 4 hours before it takes effect. So we have a solution called the home of the 15-minute quickie. Tyson Drugs, owned and operated in Holly Springs, developed a tablet with the active ingredient in that little blue pill that dissolves under the tongue and starts working in as little as 15 minutes with the same length of effectiveness as the other guy. 60-milligram tablet can be broken up into smaller pieces, as little as 15 milligrams per dose. It's only $10, too. So call now, give the doctor information. They'll call to get the prescription in the works. Also, they'll deliver it to you, or you can go by if local in Holly Springs. That number, 662-252-2321. It is sildenafil. You can also fill out the form online at TysonDrugs.com. I did not purposefully place that yesterday where I where I did. We were trying to get done. We had a football practice to get to, and it just kind of happened. So my not apologies, but my explanation there as we move forward in today's show.
Oh God.
Could have done it in front of Ross to see his reaction in the middle. Take a quick break, Ross. Let me
take a quick break and talk to you about that $10 fix.
Yeah. It's a heck of a bargain. It's cheaper.
It is. I mean, that sucks to pay $50 or $60 and you got to wait 4 hours.
You get five or six of them for that price.
I mean, by 4 hours, you're sound asleep. Not interested anymore.
You don't think planning ahead is a prudent thing in this case?
4 hours out?
Yeah. Talk about being pissed off.
You got to be a lot luckier than me.
You spend 50 or 60 bucks and go, hey, 4 hours from now, and then nothing?
No.
Just set it on fire. And had an issue to deal with at the same time.
Dig deep.
What? Go ahead. No, you're good.
One of the good things
about... Okay, hold on. Does it take stimulus, or is it just a reactor because you've taken the pill 4 hours
ago? That's a good question.
I don't have the answer.
I mean, it's just one of those... 4 hours later, it's just, good morning.
Yes, what I'm saying.
No matter what.
Yeah, or does it take whatever?
Does it take a little...
Yeah.
Visual or other sort of stimulus?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's a combination thereof. Otherwise, you got to be real careful, because what if 4 hours from now you're someplace where you don't need to be chopping wood? You know what I'm saying? You're out in the public, and all of a sudden it's, hello, everyone. Good to see you.
The guy in the pasture notices the cameras on the donkey, and look where you are right now.
Ass man.
Yeah, he's an ass man.
All of a sudden, everyone's saying, he is an ass man.
All right. This actually got the most talk on the message board yesterday out of everything going on. Ross Bjork's comment about the basketball program at Ole Miss. He said a lot without saying much from regards of who made the decision on Andy Kennedy's contract. Interesting deal, because my opinion, Neil, tell me if I'm wrong here.
Okay.
I
can't tell you your opinion's wrong. I can agree or disagree.
Well, no, it's a fact that I'm going to say.
Okay.
All three head coaches had the same method in their contract, where the state of Mississippi has four-year length.
You can only extend the contract out 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they put in automatic rollovers. But by automatic rollovers, that does not mean that no matter what, that contract cannot be rolled over. It means that they just roll it over unless they tell the guy they're not going to roll it over. Hugh Freeze's contract was rolled over via automatic rollover per lots of people. So this kind of thing could have not been rolled over. Mike Bianco's contract rolled over after the 2017 season. Andy Kennedy's contract not rolled over after his season.
Well, if you're right, it's mind-boggling. It's baffling.
But that's my interpretation. Is that the way that you inferred some of these things as well?
I think so. I have more questions.
Well, right.
I wish we had more time where we could ask that. Because I would ask, why would you choose to roll Hugh Freeze over if it wasn't automatic? Because what you're saying, what you're describing, is not an automatic rollover.
No, it's lipstick on a pig from a terminology standpoint.
Yeah, but if what you're describing is accurate, and I'm not saying it is or isn't,
I'm basing this off Mike Bianco's contract, because Ross said after the 14 season
they made a decision not to.
After the 14 season they gave him the new deal. That was the College World Series team.
Right.
In the past, they have chosen not to, just in general. However, this season they chose to allow that automatic rollover to take effect and roll him over, so he remains on a 4 year.
But they could have not done it.
He said all he had to do was inform him of the decision ahead of time.
Well, then that's not an automatic rollover. That's a optional rollover.
Yeah, it's automatic only in the sense that if you do nothing, it's a rollover.
Andy Kennedy's was obviously an optional rollover, not automatic.
Or do they just give him a heads up?
We're not rolling your contract over. That's meaning we're not going to exercise that option.
That's my point. It kind of is all the same thing.
So if Hugh Freeze's was an optional rollover, they optioned to roll it over, which I would ask, why? You went 5-7. Your team quit on you in November, and you have a second NOA. Why are you rolling that over?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I have a feeling that right now Ross Bjork's hearing this and going, no, you dumbass.
And that's fine.
And that would be fair. Welcome. Get in line. So I'm not saying I'm right.
No, no.
If that's the case, then I have a lot of questions.
But I guess I'm just kind of pitching it to you more than anything else. On Ross's comments as a whole on basketball thoughts.
I think it was clear that Andy Kennedy's decision was made by Jeffrey Vitter. Ross was a company man on that answer. Had no choice but to be. I get that. It's not a criticism. I don't think he made that decision. I don't think Ross Bjork, if you take him at his word, and the words are interesting because I think there is a way to interpret it differently. Some people have interpreted what he said as they should be squarely in the NCAA tournament every year. If that's what he meant, and I don't think it is, well, then that's insane. There's nothing in that in Ole Miss's history. There's nothing in the history of any SEC program not named Kentucky to support that. Nothing. If what he meant was to be squarely in the conversation every year, okay. But that's not much margin for error at a program where there's been nothing but errors, but okay. That means that if you decide to move on from Andy Kennedy, you are investing more in basketball coming up than you've ever invested in basketball before.
You're not talking about Dewey Center.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Dewey Center. I'm talking about investing in basketball in a way that you've never really invested in basketball before.
Mm-hmm.
Because basketball, here's how this works. There's only five dudes on each team on the floor at one time. And so if you have two or three dudes who are better at basketball than the five dudes on the other team, it's going to be really hard for the dudes on the other team to not get exposed by the two or three dudes on my team who are better than all of those dudes.
All you need is a Jimmy and a Joe in basketball.
Give me one really good Jimmy and one really good Joe and then a bunch of other cats. Let me give you an example. When I was a kid, I grew up in Ruston. And there was a team at Louisiana Tech. And they had a little white point guard named Wayne Smith. Pretty good player. I think he was a 6'2 kid from Shreveport. Shooted a little bit. Didn't turn the ball over. He was okay. His NBA career lasted as long as mine. They had a shooting guard named Rennie Bailey who could shoot it a little. Not a great shooter, but a good shooter. Could get to the rack. So, had a big, tall, skinny center named Willie Simmons. Offensive game, really limited. Defensive game, pretty good. But he was a rim protector.
Block some shots.
He would get a lot of cheap chippies at the basket. He'd rebound. Seemed like a good kid. And they had some other pieces. But then they recruited this 6'9 forward, kind of a 3/4 from Summerfield, Louisiana. That son of a gun came in, and he was an impact player. And lo and freaking behold, Louisiana Tech went from being like an NIT sort of team to a Sweet 16 team one bucket away from the Elite Eight. Because of that dude from Summerfield. 6'9", athletic. When he dunked, you wondered if the goals would survive the dunk.
Had a little NBA career.
He played in the NBA, had a cup of coffee in the NBA.
Yeah.
Karl Malone.
Yeah.
You give me a Karl. That's where football's different. Baseball's different. In football, one superstar, okay, you're going to help my team. I mean, if you offer Ole Miss right now the next Marshall Faulk and put him in the backfield, I mean, Phil Longo's saying, oh, good. Good for us. If you offered Wesley McGriff right now.
Lawrence Taylor, it'd be all
right. A Lawrence Taylor at linebacker, let me just tell you this, he wouldn't have to go buy the little blue pill.
Yeah.
He'd be walking around – Lonzo Ball style, or LaVar Ball.
Yeah.
But in basketball, you change the game with the superstar. Thunder's going to be a little bit better with Paul George on the court. Going to be a little bit better in the same way that they weren't quite as good without Kevin Durant. Amazingly. Same dudes, same coach. Did Billy Donovan become a 16-game worst coach last year? No, of course not. Stupid.
He didn't have 35.
Yeah, it made a difference. Instead of 35, they played Andre Roberson. Little fall off there. So
good defender.
He is a very good defender. So when you talk about basketball and you say, well, we expect to be in the tournament every year, well, then you have to change the way you play the game. Because show me the SEC programs that are in the tournament every year. I'll spot you one. Kentucky. Who else? The next program that comes to mind is Florida. They are not in the tournament every year. If I say to you, you're a casual basketball
SEC guy. Kentucky lost to Robert Morris in an NIT game a couple years ago.
But if I say to you, Chase Parham, you're a guy who keeps up casually with the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that I keep up casually with baseball.
Uh-huh.
I say to you, SEC basketball programs, go.
And you go Kentucky and Florida.
Who do you say third?
I was sitting here because I knew where you were going, and I had a very difficult time coming up with that third team.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to hit you or anything, but who's third?
Here's what's crazy about this. Just off the top of my head, for no reason it makes any sense, I thought Tennessee.
Okay.
And I have no idea why.
And they haven't been in the tournament forever. Okay, yeah. Who's fourth? I'm not going to do this to you all the way to 14.
No, I know.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to make a point. Who's fourth?
Vanderbilt.
Okay. Okay. Who's fifth?
Arkansas.
And frankly,
Ole Miss has better programs than some of these teams.
But none of the programs that you're naming, I'm not making fun of you.
Because I was trying to base it off NCAA tournament appearances.
I know you were.
And I was having a really hard time coming up with one.
I know you were. And I'm not picking on you here.
Yeah,
my point is, if you say to me, hey, Neil, name SEC baseball programs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go LSU.
Vanderbilt.
Florida.
South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina. I'm going to go down a list. And all of those teams, hell, they make the tournament every damn year. They're winning championships.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's Kentucky. Florida, and then quite frankly, it's a hodgepodge. And nobody in the SEC is a perennial tournament team outside of Kentucky.
No.
I mean, Mike White just made the tournament. They had not made the tournament for a couple, 3 years. Frank Martin just took South Carolina to the Final Four. They had not been to the tournament once before. Before that, they'd gone on a long drought of no tournament. Auburn, when I covered Auburn,
good.
They were good. Auburn has not been to the tournament
since then.
Since Caroline was born. She's 14. She's a freshman in high school now. Alabama's excited about this team that they have right now. They hadn't been to the tournament in a little while. Not really. Alabama hadn't been a player nationally since I was on the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So if the argument is that Andy Kennedy should... For him to keep his job, they have to become a perennial tournament team. I mean, I have other questions. Based off what? Now, if what he was saying is they should be squarely in the conversation every year, well, now that's a more realistic goal. But then if that's the case, it still begs, who made the decision and why to not roll that contract over where he could recruit at max efficiency? Why would you hamstring him? Who made that decision? Because it was a really bad decision. Jeffrey Vitter just absolutely brain farted that. I mean, dumb. Whoever talked him into that had an agenda a mile long. And by the way, if you listen to the program, because I know you follow me on Twitter, you're invited to come on the podcast and explain it. We would love to go over the PowerPoint with you.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
So, yeah.
And I don't think it was Sean Toohey.
No.
A lot of people point at Sean Toohey.
We talked to Sean Toohey.
I talked to Sean Toohey. Sean Toohey took my call and answered my questions, and you can believe him or disbelieve him, and some people believe him and some people don't. I'm going to freely tell you that I don't think Sean Toohey played a role in the decision not to extend Andy Kennedy.
You believed him when you talked to him.
I either believe him or generally believe him enough to believe that it's generally the truth. I do not believe that Sean Toohey
was an impactful decision maker in this.
I don't.
No. I'll buy that.
I don't. I think Sean Toohey volunteered to anyone who asked, I really didn't see your team much. If you told me that he didn't give some glowing endorsement of Kennedy, okay. But that's different than saying he needs to go. I think Sean Toohey's answer essentially to anyone who asked was, I haven't seen them enough to have a legitimate argument here. Were you surprised at the backlash of people about Mike Bianco? That so many people, like on our message board, for example, got upset that they renewed his contract? Or are you so used to that?
Agree or surprise? Agree, no. Surprise, no. Because I've lived it for a while on the message board. He's incredibly polarizing to the fan base because of something that he did himself by winning. Baseball is an incredibly nuanced sport at the college level, and I'm not criticizing people for not understanding it, but it's a completely different animal than any other sport in the country.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to understand if you're not in the middle of it.
The playing field is a rolling...
It's weird.
It's hills and valleys all over the place. It's not a level at all.
Even to the point of, look, Ole Miss has gotten a lot of commitments the last week or so. They picked up 3 or 4 baseball commitments. Good kids, good players.
Why'd they lose the kid from Ruston, by the way?
He decommitted a while ago, just kind of whatever. I mean, I honestly think we're getting to the point where baseball is becoming like other sports, and I think LSU had been making runs at him for a while, frankly. But you go, hey, so-and-so beat so-and-so. Well, yeah, but you don't know if maybe the team that got him offered him an 85% scholarship and the team that didn't get him offered him a 20%, 25% scholarship. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, sure.
Even on just the, hey, this kid chose this school. Well, yeah, but there was a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
It's not football where it's 1v1.
I mean, if Carson's a soccer player, for example, and one school offers him an 80% scholarship and another school offers him a 20% scholarship, even if the 20% scholarship school was the dream school, we're going to the 80% scholarship.
Yeah. But if you're sitting there and the 80% scholarship school can't look at the other one and go, hey, we kicked your tail.
No, of course not.
That's not what happened.
No, you were able to offer more scholarship.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that in some ways it's like football and basketball recruiting. It's about the amount and the offer.
You never know.
Most of the cheating's in the SEC. I read that yesterday. And if you read it on the internet, it's true. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
So that's most of that. If we missed anything in our heads, we'll touch on it tomorrow. Again, I got a couple of the topics I want to hit tomorrow, so we'll get to those. Today, in the middle, again, right before Robin Tannehill on Thursday, check rebelgrove.com. I'll have some coverage up later from just kind of some different stuff. I need to get caught up on writing a little bit today. So check rebelgrove.com. Later today, we'll have more coverage. Again, we get coordinators after practice tomorrow. There's also another availability on Friday as well. So that's kind of the schedule coming up. Ole Miss is having its first scrimmage on Saturday. That is closed, we believe.
Yes.
Meet the Rebels this Saturday as well. Obviously, no public practices open the entire fall camp. But anyway, that's the schedule. So check rebelgrove.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow.